Dying bird box. I am
Shalom, I'm Billy Grimm. And perhaps you know that I was editor of publications for Kenneth E. Hagin for many years. One day he walked into my office and he said, "There's going to be an age change. I won't be here. It's not going to be just like you step over a log and everything is different. God is going to start bringing things from the glory world into this world. There will be more occasion of angels and activity seen. And there will be people, many people, more people will go behind the veil into the glory world and bring back a testimony of what they saw. Some," he said, "will be near-death experiences, some will not." So right away then, that was in probably 1979, I started collecting these people, and I've known them through the years, people who have been to heaven and come back with their testimony. Known them for years. Now one of my newest collections, my newest pieces in my collection, is Dean Braxton. And Dean Braxton was dead for an hour and 45 minutes. He had an amazing experience in heaven. And he recently came by Prayer Mountain, and I interviewed him. And you're about to hear the things he shared. Dean, I'm not quite through with prayer.
Yes.
You know, this is Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we have a prayer call every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, every Wednesday noon at 12. We hear from God.
Right.
And we work with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about prayers and shelf life.
Yes.
What is it about that?
Well, I came to understand that, first of all, we got to understand our prayers are eternal. Even when after they're answered, God still holds on to them. It's not like he says, that's answered, let's get rid of it.
He doesn't do that.
Yeah, he doesn't do that. That prayer has become a part of him, so it's still with him. I came to understand even those prayers that are not answered, and if you left the planet, as I call it, and go to be with him in heaven, and you're praying for your family, well, that doesn't make your prayers non and void, and they'll disappear. They don't have a shelf life. God will still be operating off that prayer, even though you leave the planet. You know how you pray for generations of your family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if they're not existing on the planet yet, you know, they're being born and maybe you're gone. Still, the prayer that you have prayed for them will go over to that generation that you're not even here on the planet for, and God will start operating off of that prayer for that person that's on the planet right now because you prayed for them maybe two generations ago, maybe three generations ago, maybe 40 generations ago, but God still is answering that prayer for that person that you prayed, you know? So you don't have a shelf life. There's no expiration date. Now, the scripture reference I use is when Cornelius, remember Cornelius in the 10th after Acts, rather, and the angel comes to him and he says something to him. He says, "Your prayers and your good deeds are a memorial before God." And if you look at that word memorial, it means remembrance. That's what it really means. So God remembers the requests you made for that person, even though it may not have been answered when you've been on the planet. He's still going to go to answer that prayer. Is that good news?
It's good news. And I've heard so many testimonies. The Lord showed me one time that he can do something with the last second of a man's life.
Yes.
You see, I used to say, God knows the future better than we know the past. Mm-hmm. But I had to change it because it says in Isaiah 57, he lives in eternity.
Yes.
He lives in eternity.
Yes.
And Dr. Roy Hicks, that I quoted earlier to you, he said, you imagine it, even though our minds can't wrap around it, like a wagon wheel.
Yes.
And God, eternity's the hub, and the spokes are time.
Yes.
And he can.
That's a good way of saying.
He could look down any spoke of time from eternity.
From eternity.
And one time I was coming back from Australia, the first time. I'm headed there now for my 11th trip.
Wow.
I love Australia. And I was coming back. You could leave Sydney and get in L.A. before you left Sydney.
Yeah.
You know? Because time's.
The time, yeah.
So we I've never had it happen on any of the other trips, but the pilot said when we, he said, "I want to announce that we just passed the international dateline." And then I heard the voice of God. And it said, I didn't write this down now, so I'll have to kind of remember. Help me, Father. God invented time. Precisely, scientifically,
He cut out a piece of eternity and called it time. He measured out a piece of eternity and called it time for his dealings with man.
Yeah.
It's just for his dealings with man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If we didn't sin, man didn't sin, wouldn't even need it.
We wouldn't have time. You're right. Mm-mm. You're right about that. Yeah.
So our prayers then are eternal.
They're eternal. You know, they have substance to them. Most people don't realize they're really a light. You know, they really are. There's several places in the scripture. You know, when it talks about how the day of Pentecost and the tongues come, mm-hmm. and they're praying and they see tongues of fire. Mm-hmm. If you take that word and you look at it in the Greek, it also means lightning. They're light. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just not fire. It could be translated as lightning. Mm-hmm. The other way I tell people is that incense.
That stands,
you know, burnt before the throne of God, it turns into a milky white because it's supposed to be frankincense, and that's what the color is. So it has a substance to it. We don't see it. So I really believe sometimes we do see it. We just don't recognize we see the prayers leave sometimes. You know, I just think because we're not used to that and we don't think of it and we think, oh, it's just invisible. No, I think sometimes in the spirit we can see the prayers leave and go somewhere. And we just don't realize we're seeing it. We see a streak of light or something like that. It's our prayers that are leaving.
And for sure, the aroma of prayer.
Yes.
Oh, my
I got excited.
Jesus. He said that they come up as a pleasing they aroma are, before they him. And sometime when you're in a prayer meeting or other meetings even, you can smell the roses,
you
for
can
instance.
Smell. And every one of us, though, Billy, have a smell to our prayers. God enjoys smelling our prayers. They not only just hear them, he smells
That's
them.
That's what it says. It's written.
Yes. It's in there. And people don't realize the power of our prayers.
Did you have this sense of smelling them in heaven?
Oh, yes. I smelled them in heaven, and I've smelled them here on the planet several mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. I'll be with a group, and they'll start praying, and I can smell the prayers. I can smell them. Mm-hmm. People don't realize they're sending up that aroma, that sweet aroma that God mm-hmm. talks about. Mm-hmm. And everybody has a different smell. And it's mm-hmm. so cool. You know, to hear them, to see them, and to smell them.
Do you have any secrets about prayers that God told you or you saw and you didn't ever tell anybody before?
You know, that's
And you like to tell the whole television audience?
You know, I can't think off the top of my head of anything that I have not said about prayer. Maybe there's a question someone hasn't asked me. The smell part just came out recently. Mm-hmm. People started asking me questions, and I got to start communicating them to how their prayers have a smell to them. I've always talked about the light part of it. I want people to know how tangible it is so that they realize the power they really have that they're sending up there. Because it's real.
If
I was to take this cup and throw it across the room and hit somebody, they would feel it. Well, mm-hmm. your prayers are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's that tangible. So if anything, I want people to know the tangibility of their prayers to the Father.
But they have to come from the heart, right?
They have to come from the heart.
Explain that.
You know, God knows our hearts. He knows exactly. You know, sometimes people say, well, I pray and there's no answer. Well, what's going on with your heart? You know, that's what's going on. Especially if it's, well, like you said earlier, if God, it's his will and we're praying it. You understand what I mean? Because the Bible says what? He hears us. If he hears us, we have our request.
That's what he said.
So what's going on with your heart that's not being answered like you think it should be? Is it because he's waiting for you something to change and then it's going to be? I really believe a lot of people right now are getting an answer to prayers because their hearts already changed. But it may have taken days. It may have taken years. And all of a sudden, they may have forgot they prayed for it. But God hasn't forgot it. He says, okay, you're ready for this. And he gives it to them.
Prayer is just the top of your head. That's nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
But prayers from your heart.
Prayers from your heart.
And that's why you said, like little children get answers.
Yeah, little children do. I was out of church a year ago in this area here. And I had all the little kids come up and lay their hands on me and pray for me. And
gosh, you're smart.
I bowed down, put my head below them, and they were all laying their hands on me because they were praying from their heart. You know, I knew they were praying from their heart. That's why you'll see a little kid get an answer. I love it so much. You know, one story I got to tell you, this is a pretty cool one because this daddy was telling me about his little girl. She was about 4 years old or 5 years old, and their dog had died. And he wanted to pray with his little girl about this dog. And so he went and said his prayers. You know how we are. We go ahead and say it. And then she starts saying her prayer. And the first thing she said, God, heal my dog. You know, and he's thinking, oh, no, no, God, I don't want her to be disappointed. So he tried to interrupt her, and she stopped and said, Daddy, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God.
There you have it right there. It's God and me.
So that's where kids' hearts are. Mm-hmm. You understand? When they go in, they know God is real to them. It's not somebody that they're praying in a way that they're looking at the answer to come.
Yeah, and you know, God, it says, he's looking on men's hearts.
Yes, yes.
He's yeah. not looking someplace else.
Yeah. You know, when I think, this is Dean, okay? Yeah. I think one of the biggest hindrance to answer prayer is unforgiveness. It's not forgiving somebody.
Without a doubt.
I don't know how many Christians, I don't know about you, but I have ran into so many Christians that believe it's all right to not to forgive people. You know, they something happened in their lives, someone did something, and they're holding on to it. And then they're asking God to answer a prayer, and he's going to do some things. I'm not going to say he's not, but they're not experiencing the fullness of what God wants because they're holding on to something and not forgiving somebody. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand this thing. And I've been there. You know, we're in the ministry. People hurt us. They say things about us. They talk about
us. Oh, I imagine they say things about you.
Oh, yeah. But the reality of it is I'm commanded to forgive. People
yes.
think it's... People think it's a choice in the sense, I said, no, we are told it's a commandment. And then I do this on purpose. I say, and my Bible says, those that love him will keep his commandments.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And if you keep his commandments, then it says he'll call you friend.
Yeah, that's good.
And then he says, the friends, the servants don't know.
Yes.
They're our servants. They are people, yeah. children of God. But they're not really friends of God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they love God, but they haven't obeyed him. And you just go up two more scriptures,
good.
And it says, love.
Yeah.
Love is my commandment.
Yeah.
So then if you're a friend of God, then you can know his plans.
Yeah.
You can know he reveals to you.
Yeah.
The servants don't know his plans, but his friends do.
Yeah.
And... So you love God, but that unforgiveness in there, it's a hindrance.
Yeah, it is.
It's a roadblock.
It is.
It's a roadblock. Now, my son, Terry, I'm pointing there because he's sitting out there in that audience.
Okay.
But he had an experience with God, and his training is chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord showed him their laws, that prayer works by laws.
Yeah.
God's laws, just like gravity.
Yes.
And the Lord showed him, now I'm not a chemist, so I hope I get this right. But he said, it's like chemistry, an acid and a base.
Mm-hmm.
When they come together, they're going to produce, I forgot what it is, something. Salt, water?
Salt and water.
Salt and water.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there, so I ask him. So the Lord showed him, if the base and the acid are both strong, you're going to get it real quick. But he said, let me and my word be the base or the acid.
Yes.
And your faith is the base.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can set those two up on a shelf and they're going to produce. That's the law.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll take a long time.
It's going to take a long time.
But if you've got unforgiveness in you, mm-hmm. whatever, but if you come according, you know, it'll be quick.
Yeah. Maybe you talked about, I've been going through my head listening to you, but I've been going about the secret you talked about. And one of the things that, and you probably, I hope you bring it out, is that most people enter into that realm asking first instead of praising.
Mm-hmm.
The first I think we should do whenever we go to the Father mm-hmm. in prayer is to praise him, give him glory. And even if there's something we're getting ready to ask, to thank him for how he's answered that in the past.